Lola.
Circumstance tonight.
No matter what the situation.
No matter what the situation. Hallelujah.
We will lift our holy hands.
We will lift our holy hands.
There is no one else.
praise our God and oversee our bread. Our bread, our bread is our God. Our bread, our bread is our God. Let's sing tonight. Our bread is our God. All the things designed for us. Our bread. How great is our God. The splendor of the day.
Hallelujah.
Oh, clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice. All the earth rejoice.
Hallelujah.
Oh, we love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Darkness tries to hide and trembles at his voice. Trembles at his voice.
Oh, our bread is our God. Sing with me, our bread is our God. And over sing our bread.
Oh, and time is in his hands. Beginning and the end. Beginning and the end. The God Supreme One. Father, Spirit, Son. The Lion and the Lamb. Lion and the Lamb.
Oh, I pray. How great, how great is our God. Oh, name above all names, worthy of all praise, my heart will sing how great is our God.
Father, we just want to come unto this, say, thank you, Lord. Thank you once again. Father, thank you that we can come to sing of your greatness, Lord. Father, you are great. Father, your ways are great. Father, your purposes are great. Oh, Father, your thoughts are so great towards us, oh Lord. Father, if we could just realize and understand Oh, Father, that is our desire upon this day. That as we'd come to humble ourselves before Thee, as we'd come to draw nigh unto Thee, that, Father, You would draw nigh unto our souls once again upon this night. That You would reveal unto us, Father, some more of Your greatness, Lord. How great, Father, You are. And, Father, we just want to serve Thee. We just want to unreservedly serve Thee. Father, we just want to give it all to Thee at this time. Wash us in Your blood. Father, remove anything, Lord. We know that You've made a perfect provision for us, Lord, that You've already made a way. Father, we just want to come boldly upon this evening into the most holy Lord, unto the throne of grace, that, Father, You have promised that You may obtain grace to help in time of need. Oh, Father, thank You for that, Lord. Thank You when the world is falling apart. We're so glad Jesus lives down in our heart, Lord. Father, when everything is confusing out there, thank You, Lord, that there's light in Goshen. Father, thank You, Lord, when there's darkness in Egypt. Thank You, Father, that there's grace upon Your people. Father, thank You that we're not confused. Thank You, Father, that we know who we are and what we're raised up for. Father, let it be real unto us. That, Father, it would manifest itself for Your glory. Bless Your people that have gathered upon this night. As You open up the word, bless it unto our souls. Lead us and guide us, Lord, upon this night. Father, may we come into Your holy tabernacle. Father, to be shut in with Thee once again. Let the curtain drop behind us, Lord. Father, speak, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Saints, we do greet you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's open Joshua chapter 1. Wednesday night, decide to fellowship around this thought of the Joshua Commission. It's a... very important. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua 1, we'll read the first 9 verses. I'm just taking it from the beginning when the prophet read these verses in the message. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. And just before he reads the scripture, he says, but about 2 years ago, I saw the Bible in the room come down and stand where I was at. And a hand from above came down and parted the pages and turned them out and came down. Joshua 1 to the 9th verse and stopped, going slowly. And I've waited for this hour to approach, to when I would feel that it was God's will for me to speak concerning it. So the prophet now, he's preaching this message September the 11th, 1960. So the prophet could really sense, even in his own ministry at that time, that there was a change. You know, and then he knew that this Joshua signified something about the change. There was something very significant, because the Lord had already come down and showed him. The angel of the Lord came with his hand and told him down to verse 9. So let's read it. We know it very well. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. So the thing we see straight away when the Lord starts speaking to Joshua about his commission, the commission is to do with the land and the people. We'll see it that before the Joshua commission came, the emphasis, the previous chapter was about Moses and God, God and Moses. But once you get to the Joshua commission, we find the emphasis changes now to God and his people. And we'll see that as we go. Every place, verse 3, that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. So the Joshua Commission speaks about, if a person's in the position, speaks about authority. That there's a place for your feet to tread. And wherever your feet tread, God has given you that land. They were born for this possession. From this wilderness, the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, towards the going down of the sun shall be your coast. So God had parameters and boundaries specifically set. Before they were born, God had this inheritance, this position set for the people of God. And it just needed the Joshua Commission to come down at a certain stage to open up a certain channel and an inspiration. And the people were born now to go and find their places in this inheritance. And it was within very specific boundaries. Now, God had certain places for certain people. He had made them for those particular positions. Verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Showing that in order to inherit this, there's going to be opposition. You're going to have to stand. There's going to be things that withstand you. There's going to be things that challenge you, things that get in your way. You're going to find already people possessing your inheritance like they did. He says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And you can ask yourself as a believer today, has he ever failed you? Has he ever forsaken you? Even when we've let him down, friends, even in your lowest point, he never has forsaken us. He's never let us down. And that's how true he is, because it's a commission. It's a Joshua commission. It's a covenant between God and his people. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Then he starts giving the conditions now. That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. So if you find you've got some place we're not prospering, if you look inside of your life, there's some place you don't have victory, you're not overcoming, that's the reason. We've turned, been turned aside to the right hand or to the left from doing exactly what Moses told us to do. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So the devil has two things he wants us to do. Either he wants us to add to the message, or he wants us to take away. Now those are the two things that are going to cause us to fail. But he says it very particularly, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Have not I commanded thee, verse 9, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. You may be seated. May the Lord bless his word. That's Joshua's commission. That's Joshua when the Lord started him off on his journey. Now, I just wanted to put this picture up here because there's many, many things that can be represented in this particular position. We know in the bride, the great scourge of the bride, the great trouble we've always had. I got in the message in the 80s, and we've always had the problem of people rising up in the message claiming they are the fulfillment of the Joshua commission. There's been so many Joshuas rise up and everyone's supposed to follow them. Even now, people are being baptized again and all these things because, you know, somebody says you've got to follow him to go in the rapture and you've got to follow. Now, we've seen so many of these things. I'm sure you're the same as me, that we're just not interested in those things at all. Because, you know, the great answer to this question about the Joshua commission, if you just even take the title of this message, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. Who was that given to? It was to Brother Branham. The angel came and told him, here's Joshua chapter 1, and made the prophet read and said to Brother Branham, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. That was the Joshua commission. So we'll see it. That the Joshua commission, it's firstly is fulfilled. Let's look at it in this kind of a way. We know that the prophet 1946, when the angel came to him in the cave, as we were saying on Sunday, the angel came and said, as Moses was given two signs, so too are you given two signs. So when the prophet first started his ministry, he was a prophet like unto Moses. We know that his strange birth, how the angel spoke to him of his strange birth, spoke to him of the two signs that he had been given. And those two signs with Moses, they operated down in Egypt. Those two signs weren't for the promised land. Those two signs were vindication down in Egypt. So from 1946, the prophet, he uses these two signs when he's in Egypt. When it's in the denominational realm, because the prophet says Egypt types the denominations. So while he was within that realm, still operating within that realm, that was the purpose of those two signs. It was a vindication to attract the attention of the rainbow trout so that something could take place down the way. So from 1946 up to 1963, although the prophet always had those signs, and Moses, I'm sure he always had those signs with him, he could always do them, But from 1946 to 1963, the prophet was the prophet like unto Moses. And there's so many parallels between the prophet and Moses. Even when you get into standing in the gap, when the Lord showed him the sign of the mountain, the prophet says it's the same as the Lord said to Moses. Moses was commissioned by the pillar of fire and said, bring the people back unto this mountain. And the prophet says, just as much as Moses was given a sign of a mountain, so too was I given a sign of a mountain. You know, and there's so many things. The prophet, when he was young, how he almost died until that neighbor had to come in the snow and save him as a baby and so forth. You know, when Moses was put in the basket and the Lord watched over him, and the pillar of fire coming down when Moses was born, like the prophet says, and the pillar of fire coming down when the prophet was born. So there's such a parallel. But the prophet, he first had to fulfill that role. Because Moses, the role of Moses was to call the people out. Now, Moses could call the people out, but Moses never took the people in. Now, that's where now people think that Brother Branham brought people out, but then he didn't take them in. That's a shame. And that's how when you get to 1963, there has to be a change of ministry. And all these ministry, these messages from 61, 62, 63, I'll show you. The prophet is feeling something's going to change. There's an expectation something has to come in. Because all of this manifestation, this great manifestation of God from 1946 onwards, it hasn't yet brought forth the bride. You know, it's attracted the attention of people, but this hasn't yet brought a separation. There hasn't yet come where the seed now is not heir with the shuck anymore. There hasn't been a time that the shuck pulls away from the seed and the seed now comes out as a separated unit to line the presence of the Son. You know, and that's going to be the next phase of the ministry. So the prophet says it in the Message paradox when he preaches about this. He says, Joshua here is the book of redemption. He says it's the book of redemption of the Old Testament. If we had time to consider it, it's redemption in two parts. Redemption has two parts. One is out of, and then the other one is into. So the prophet had to fulfill the role of Moses to call us out, to call the church out. Then from 1963, present stage of the ministry, all the doors were closed. People wouldn't have him anymore because of what he was preaching. It was now time to take people in. It was now time for him to move into the ministry, the Joshua Commission, because Joshua was now commissioned to take the people into their inheritance, to start positionally placing church Israel. So the two signs of Moses had brought them out into the wilderness, but never placed them in the promised land. So the ministry now had to change to the Joshua Commission. And Joshua's commission, now take these people that have come out and take and place them in. And the prophet says, that's why redemption always has these two stages. So the prophet, he fulfilled both parts. But we know the prophet didn't fulfill all of the Joshua Commission. You know, he didn't, because the real Joshua, like he says here, he says Joshua is Jehovah's Savior. The real fulfillment of Joshua, it's that mighty angel. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the real Joshua. He's Joshua himself. If I had to take it like this, in Revelation chapter 10, the real Joshua, we see him in verse 1. He's the mighty angel coming down. And first he comes down to the prophet. And the prophet gets his adoption first. In 1963, the prophet, that was his adoption. That was Shaihim. This is my beloved son. God took him out on the mount apart and had a ceremony, and angels came down, like the prophet says, like the Lord Jesus Christ when he was at Mount Transfiguration. And the prophet was chained. Something changed him at that time. That was the prophet's adoption. You know, and that's when the cloud came down. But the next stage of the Joshua Commission is the bride's adoption. The bride now has to find her position. Brother Branham in 1963 perfectly found his predestined position. He fully stepped into the role that he was ordained to step into from the day that he was born. Everything that went before up to 1963 was preparing him. The Lord was shaping him. The Lord was teaching him. The great tutor was taking him through various circumstances and trials and situations to bring him to the place until the Lord could take him as the first one who came to maturity and wave him before the people and say, no, this is the first sheaf, the Son of Man ministry in this age. But it doesn't finish there. Now, all the material needed and required to put the bride in position has already been given to us. We don't need anything else to come to us as the bride. We're not looking for any new messages to come. We're not looking for any new revelation to come. We're not looking for anything else. what God was going to say to this generation has already been said. Amen. Thus saith the Lord has already come. Amen. And that was the ministry of the prophet. And he is the one that had that commission. First call the people out under the first and second pool, the first two signs. And then now place the people positionally. That was now the next stage of the ministry. Just as much as Revelation 10, the mighty angel, who's the real Joshua coming down, the pillar of fire coming down, he comes down to Brother Branham first, comes down to the seventh angel, and then the seventh angel opens the mystery now. The entire mystery of redemption gets opened up. And then from Revelation 10, from verse 8 to verse 11, it's now John. John now has to eat that book. That open book, he has to eat that book. He must meditate therein day and night. He mustn't turn to the left hand or to the right. And then John, now he's going to find his position. He's to prophesy to many nations. And that's the ministry of the bride. I don't have the quote here now, but you can read it in Questions and Answers 1964. Somebody asked Brother Ram, will the bride have a ministry before the rapture? And he says, yes. He says, that's what's going on now. He says, it's prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, apostles. He says, but it'll be so simple. And people will stumble over the simplicity. But always after the going of the prophet, you find it's the fivefold ministry. If the saints remember the old song that the believers used to sing, called Down Through the Ages. I don't know if you remember it, but it says, Malachi 4 produces Ephesians 4. And that's the truth. Now, Malachi 4, I send you Elijah, it produces Ephesians 4, which is the fivefold ministry. Amen. And friends, anything else that comes inside of that is breaking all the shadows and types of Scripture. If we've got to expect somebody to come between Brother Branham and the fivefold ministry to the entire body of Christ, that's breaking the patterns. I don't understand where people are getting that idea from. People try to isolate certain individual quotes. Where Brother Branham, in his humility, would say, maybe I'm just setting a platform for somebody else. And they take that and then they want to put themselves in that quote to say, Brother Branham is laying a platform for me. Hey, friends, you've got to be a bold kind of a person to say that kind of a thing. That Brother Branham was setting the way for you and for somebody. No, no, I don't believe that, friends. I believe exactly what the prophet said. The Joshua Commission, it's Christ. The mighty angel coming down in the end time, coming to manifest himself first through the prophet to call the bride out and then to bring the prophet to his adoption, to open up all the mysteries the bride was going to be needed to so that the bride could be clothed in the clothing of the word. But then that mighty angel, the mighty Joshua, he hasn't yet finished his commission. Because the Joshua Commission was every one of the elect had to find their place and find their position. So that's how when the prophet perfectly finishes his place, stores up the food, does everything that's required, the Lord takes him home. And now that same Joshua, that mighty angel, now his commission is still to watch over his bride. So that we, governed and tutored by the message of the hour, not adding or taking away anything to what's been said, we now come and find our position and our place across Jordan in this promised land. That's what the Joshua Commission really is, according to the prophet. And that's why it says Moses calls them out, but Joshua takes them in. But we saw both of those things in the ministry of Brother Branham. He was the great Moses to this generation, and then he was given the Joshua Commission now and sent up on the mount and said, take the people across the Jordan now. You know, that's what he did from 1963, and he speaks about it many, many times. That's why he was given those two signs. That's why it was, you know, 1963, the prophet says, Moses used that gift, he used it down there in Egypt. But by the time it came to Joshua, it wasn't in Egypt anymore. That's why the prophet says, you know, the church age, that's when he used those first two gifts. But by the time you get to 1963, something else opens and the bride is ministered into the bride age. Laodicea goes into chaos, like he says, but it's a different something opening up to the people under the Joshua Commission that God is ministering his church into a certain channel that she's going to find her position and she's going to find her place as well. Then he says it there. He says, just to show it quite clearly in spoken word as original seed, he says, let's stand like Joshua and Caleb. He says, watch close, this is going to have a spiritual background. Let us stand like Joshua and Caleb as we see the promised land coming in sight. It's nearing the time to be given. Joshua in Hebrew means savior and represents the promised end time leader to take the church over. Caleb represents the true believer who stayed with Joshua. And that's the truth, friends. You know, and that is really what the whole thing is about. There's just a tendency inside of man, when you get into those influence messages, the prophet preaches of it so much, that there's such a tendency inside of man that if God raises a man up and uses him in an outstanding way, it's so very easy, like King Uzziah, for him to move out of his position. King Uzziah, he was so blessed as a king. Proverbs said his kingdom was the greatest outside of Solomon. His fame was great right down to the going in of Egypt. No, as a king, he established a great army, made great machines and weapons of war. He made great walls around Jerusalem and around the cities within Israel. No, he was a great man. It says he was greatly helped. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up. And the prophet says people get to a stage where God has used them so much, they think they can now get away with anything. They think they can now take liberties. And the great mistake came in that he moved out of those boundaries and those parameters that God had set for him out of his inheritance as a king. And he thought now that he could take the place now of the priesthood. And he says, God's blessed me so greatly. God's vindicated me so much. And he stepped out of his position and he went now and he was withstood by the priesthood. And they warned him and said, King Uzziah, this will not be for your honor. Amen. But he got angry with under the correction of the word. And the Lord smote him with leprosy. And the prophet says, you see it so much with ministers. He says, especially if God has used them. They get themselves to a stage. They step over the boundaries. And Fred, the moment somebody steps over the boundary and wants to take the place over the bride now, the leprosy doesn't take long before it sets in. I remember Brother Lonnie Jenkins saying it years ago, and I've watched it. It happens every time. He says, whenever you find somebody wanting to raise themselves up above the rest of the bride, it doesn't take long until God puts them back down once again. Because God will have nobody over his bride. He is the great Joshua over his bride now. It's his responsibility to lead us and guide us and watch over us and bring us fully into our inheritance. But that means we've got to stay faithful to what our great Moses said as well. You know, when the prophet now has brought the message of the hour, we can't add to it or take away from it. Listen to what he says in trying to do God a service without it being the will of God. He says, don't take some new thing. He says, they're flying everywhere. And there'll be more than that come, but don't take these new things. He says, the Lord your God has declared to you what is truth. The Lord your God has vindicated what is truth by his word and his spirit. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. And the spirit, God seeks them that will worship in spirit and in truth. And he has thoroughly vindicated that Jesus Christ is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. He has shown the evening seeds to you. He has revealed it to you in the word. He has proven it to you by his spirit. Don't never start or try an organization. Don't try to build upon anything else, but stay humble before the Lord your God. For it looks like the gates may open into the promised land soon. And let's go in with true singing and rejoicing when the bride and groom takes their place at the throne. And the prophet would always warn at the end of his ministry. And those last couple of years, he so much spoke about the false anointed ones. You know, if you go and take the other message, he preached it twice trying to do God a service. He preached it in, I think, California. The prophet speaks so powerfully in there. He says, David was so well anointed. He was anointed to be king. He had a genuine anointing upon him. And in that position as king, he received an inspiration to say, let's bring the ark up. He says, you've got to be careful because that inspiration didn't belong to David. Although he was anointed, he thought, okay, now I'm anointed, now I've got an inspiration. That means God wants me to do this. It doesn't mean just because he received that inspiration that God wanted him to do it. God had a prophet, Nathan, in the land. And that inspiration concerning those things, the Lord thy God does nothing until first he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. So the prophet says that's where he got into trouble. He says, don't be deceived by anointing. He says, a man can be anointed. He says, but it's the soul that counts. He says, make sure that anointing doesn't take your soul out of the position that God ordained you to be. Now, don't let the anointing deceive you, because that's what Uzziah did. He knew he was so anointed and God had so blessed him in what he did until his soul moved out. He became a wandering star. He left his original estate. He got out of his calling, his position that God had, he was born to fulfill. But because of that great anointing that God had anointed him with in the realm of being a king, he allowed his soul now to think that he could go and get into these other areas. And I believe, saints, all of these brethren that start these things, I believe they're sincere. I don't believe the brothers who rise up and tell people they must be baptized again and all these things are hypocrites. I don't believe that. I believe God has greatly anointed those people and used them. But sometimes God can use a man and then he oversteps his boundaries now, because he sees the great blessing of God, how much God has blessed him. And now he steps out and follows an inspiration that doesn't pertain to him, that wasn't meant for him. That was meant for the prophet. It was the prophet that was the one who was above the fivefold ministry in this age. There was nobody else above the fivefold ministry. It's only the prophet, the messenger to the age. From him, you've got the fivefold ministry, ministering to the body of Christ. Then you have the nine spiritual gifts. You have all the other, the offices of the church within that. But if you're putting anything between a prophet and the ministry, you're going to have Nicolaitanism in the end. You're going to have a man who's going to start governing and ruling and being in control of things. And the prophet says, don't. He says, it's going to be very many new things come. He says, but don't have anything to do with those things. And so many of these things come in because people want to apply the Joshua commission to a man now. That this man is Joshua. This man is the eighth angel. This man now is, God has raised him up. You know, the prophet only took things so far, but this man has to take things in. And friends, just give it time. You find sin enters in. God humbles the people. Because they're the sons, many of them are sons of God. God will humble them like he humbles you and me. When we start getting out of our position, God allows things to start taking place to show that, no, be careful. This won't be to your honor and your glory if you follow this channel. Because this isn't a channel that's ordained to you. And I think you will see it as you get into the Joshua Commission, the placing of people, that you've got to find your boundaries and your parameters. You've got to find yourself what God has raised you up for. God has boundaries for you. God has a calling that you were born for inside of your life. Listen to what the prophet says in adoption when he speaks about it. We know it. It's a simple thought. But he says, Ephesus here sets us like Joshua, positionally. So the entire purpose of the Joshua Commission is to place the church positionally. That's what it is. That's why the Joshua Commission has come. Our great Joshua, the great angel of the Lord, the covenant angel, the Lord Jesus Christ, he first had to come down to the prophet. That was the vessel that he was going to use to call the church out, then to bring the church in. And then now that same great anointed presence of that angel is the one who deals individually with you and me, deals with the ministry, deals with us as individuals. And the burden of our great Joshua is one, is the placing of his people. Is for you and I to find exactly the purpose that we were raised up for. To find exactly the reason unto which we were born. He says that. He says, Ephesus, because you know he's speaking about Ephesians parallels Joshua. He says, Ephesus sets us like Joshua positionally. He says, you notice Joshua, after crossing over the land, taking the land, then he divided the land. So first they had to come out. Then they had to come in, but that wasn't enough. Now once they came over the Jordan and they came into the land of promise, they came into the land of the inheritance, it was now time that Joshua needed to place them. That was his burden, so each person could find their position and their place within the promised land, within the inheritance. He says he divided the land, Ephraim here, Manasseh here, this one here, Gad here, Benjamin here, and he divided the land. And each one had a particular portion in the land. and a particular purpose that he was to fulfill in that portion. The soil was in a certain condition that God had ordained so that this one could raise corn, this one could raise sheep. Then the Levites, they were separated from their brethren. They must be in charge of the worship of God. And within there, you would find, like we said, the sons of Asaph, the sons of Korah. You'd find the musicians. You'd find the people that would offer the holy worship. You know, so you would find so many different roles and relationships between those roles when Joshua started to place them in the land. The prophet says, notice, but oh, this just burns our heart. Each one of those Hebrew mothers giving birth to those children, she spoke the very place in her labor pain where they would be positioned in the promised land. What does it show us? That it's your birth. It was by birth that they were positioned there. And when you are really born again, you're going to gravitate to that position. You just stay in the under the great inspiration of our great Joshua, which is anointing the message of the hour. Friends, the message of the hour is saturated with the Joshua Commission, with the anointing of the Joshua Commission. And as John eats the book, as we eat this book, which came down, the great Joshua came down with a book and gave it to the seventh angel. Then the seventh angel came and unveiled the mystery of the book. And as we eat this book, we start to find ourselves in there. In this message, as I was with Moses at the beginning, he says these Methodist brothers came to him. And they said to him, Brother Ram, we've now received the Holy Ghost. We know the quote very well. They said, should we start seeking for gifts? And he says, don't do that. He says, you just follow the Spirit. And he says, he will lead you exactly to where you're supposed to be. He will lead you exactly to where you're supposed to be. He says, don't go seeking for anything. Don't try to manufacture something. Don't want to be like somebody else. Don't try to follow what somebody else is doing. Because God made you as an individual. And God made me as an individual. And just as much as when those Hebrew mothers were giving birth, those wives of Jacob, when they were giving birth, as they were giving birth, and maybe a son was about to come forth, an inspiration came down. And in her labor pain, she would cry out that name, Manasseh. And there was a meaning, there was a real divine meaning behind that. And as she cried out that name in her labor pains, in her birth pains, that positionally placed that child right from birth at a certain place in the promised land. And from the day when you met him and he turned you around and something changed in you and he started now to lead you and something changed in your soul that you could hear from him and that you could be governed by him, he started to lead you to a place that was predestined for you from the day that you were born. You were born to fulfill that purpose and that place. And friends, we'll never have full satisfaction outside of that place. We'll never have full authority. We'll never have full communion and fellowship with him. We'll never, ever be what we're supposed to be until we find that place and we possess our inheritance as individuals. The church has its inheritance, yes. But the individual, we have our inheritance. And that is the whole purpose of this Joshua Commission. And that's what the prophet says, them labor pains. He says, watch. When each of those mothers, she called out Ephraim when she was in labor, she positionally placed him where his feet were setting in oil. Just exactly each and every one of them where they were at. And Joshua, not knowing this, but by inspiration, led of the Holy Spirit, after being into the promised land, gave each man his promise. Exactly what the Holy Spirit promised through their birth back there. Ah, friends, there's something about the way that you were born. There's something about the way God made you. There's something about your temperament. There's something about the way that he allowed you to be raised. There's no mistake the color of your skin, the language that you speak. There's no mistake the temperament that you have. There's no mistake the hardships you went through to put a certain character inside of you. There's no mistake your mother and father, that they were made in a certain way. And your grandfather and grandmother were made in a certain way. The prophet says, because it takes those materials, those alloys, to make a certain ding in the bell. Something which is required to fulfill what God wants you to fulfill in your age, in your day. Nothing is out of place. And as he speaks in this message, as it was with Moses, he says, you know, we know it pretty well, but he says, you know, that Joshua had such an encouragement with that commission because the Lord said, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. And he says, and Moses being born a deliverer, got out of the will of God, went 40 years in the backside of the desert. He says, but God never gave up on him. The prophet says, because God will never give up when he's commissioned a man to fulfill something. Listen how he says it. It's very nice how he explains that when he really gets into the detail. He says, those brothers came, the Methodist brothers. He says, the only thing to do is just go ahead being a Christian. If God has called you, he will place you just exactly where you belong. Now, how can we help the Lord there? We've got to stay in the channel of the Joshua Commission. We've got to stay under the influence of the Joshua Commission, of the message of the hour. If you stay in that place that it's real in your life, if you prayed up, you get the leaven out of your soul, get the leaven out of your heart, set yourself right with the Lord and you follow him the best you can. You just keep that anointing of the Joshua Commission, the message of the hour upon you. He's going to lead you and guide you. He's going to tutor you and shape you and start moving you to a certain place. Because when God called you, he had a purpose for calling you. He didn't bring us out just so we'd die in the wilderness. He brought us out for the purpose of taking us in. That's what redemption is all about, the two parts of redemption. He brings you out to take you in. And that's why there's a deep inside of a believer that cries out for something. You can feel it in your experience that you'll be thanked the Lord for what he's done. You thank the Lord for his kindness, his grace. But there's still something inside of you that cries out for something. Because we haven't yet got to that place that we're supposed to get to. We haven't yet got to that position. So the prophet says, we find here that God, in spite of all the failure that Moses had done, he still had his hand upon him. And he called him to go to do his service. Called him into his commission. And what a consolation that must have been to Joshua when he heard God say, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not fail you. I will never forsake you. Friends, and that's the truth. I was thinking of that today. I said, but Lord, you've never failed me. You've never forsaken me. I've been discouraged at times. I've been worn out at times. I've got here and there, just like you. Just like the prophet in our age. But he will never fail us. That's his commission. Our great Joshua has a commission. That said, every one of his sons and daughters must come into their position. Every one of his sons and daughters must cross the Jordan. Don't go round and around in the wilderness. But we've got to cross the Jordan, come into the promised land. And then you've got to find your inheritance. But when you come to that place, don't expect you're just going to walk into it. Because you're going to find sometimes there's the sons of Anak in your inheritance. You're going to find there's certain tribes and there's the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Perizzites. And they're right in your divine inheritance. And you're going to have to pull the sword. And you're going to have to go in the strength of the Joshua Commission. And you're going to have to possess your land. You're going to have to go and fight for your inheritance. Because there's going to be a resistance. There's going to be an enemy that's going to try to stand his ground as well. So that you and I don't possess the fullness of what our great Joshua has purchased for us. The great inheritance that lays in store for the sons and daughters of God. That's what it is. And the message of the hour came to reveal that to us. The message of the hour came to unveil that to us. To show us, like Israel when they were down in Egypt. They must have looked at themselves just as mud daubers. They might have come to a stage because of the condition. They thought of themselves as being just worthless people. But then God sent them down a prophet. And that prophet came and revealed to them what God thought about them. That they weren't slaves. That they were the chosen people of God. And as they came out under Moses, and as they went through the testing in the wilderness, eventually they came in. And then they started to catch the full revelation of what God had in store for them. And that's the wonderful thing. That's what the message came to reveal to us. It came to reveal our inheritance to us. It came to reveal what Christ fully purchased. Through the seven church ages, no one ever fully understood the fullness of what redemption really means. People had a partial understanding of redemption. But under the opening of the seals, there's the full mystery of redemption. And when you and I catch the full revelation of the fullness of what redemption really means, friends, we're not going to be here anymore. We're not going to be here anymore. When you realize who you are in the sight of God, and when I realize who I am in Christ, friends, that's when this world can never hold me. You'll be gone. The bride says, when the prophet says, when the bride realizes who she is, we understand it in a measure and a lot of it intellectually, but if you can lay in the presence of the Son and it can bathe down, and you can really realize who you are in Christ, if you can really realize what God has in mind for you and for me, the great inheritance is laid up for us to possess. Imagine these mud daubers down there, and the Egyptians are despising them and so forth. Yet God has a land of milk and honey is already reserved for them. When God looks down at those people, he's thinking of the inheritance. And he's saying, I need to bring my people from here to the fullness of the inheritance. And that's what he sent Moses to do, to bring them out. And then he sent Joshua to take them in and divide up the land. And say, you Gad, you weren't born to be a mud dauber. You weren't born to waste your time making pagan temples for Pharaoh. You were born to raise corn in the promised land. You were born to feed your brethren. You were born to contribute to my chosen people. And you, Levi, yes, you made your mistake down there. But you were born to minister to me on behalf of my people. You were born to offer sacrifice. You were born to offer sacred music to bring the presence of the Lord down. And the people started to realize the mind of God. They started to see things the way that God had always seen it. They started to see themselves, like a prophet says, under the seals of redemption. They started to see their names there now. Lord, this is what I was ordained to do. This is what God raised me up to do. And that's what the Joshua Commission was for, was to place the people. And that's why the anointing is upon the message of the hour. And if we can take it in ministry, and you can take it and feed upon it, and I can feed upon it outside when in our homes and driving in our cars and so forth, and we can just follow that leadership, he's going to place us, and you're going to move into a place that he's ordained you to move. Now that's where you find the great difference between the book of Joshua and the book of Judges. They're books next to each other. But look how it says it in Judges 1 verse 1. Just to show the importance of this Joshua commission. Judges 1 verse 1. This is how the book of Judges, straight after Joshua dies now, you get to the book of Judges. Judges 1 verse 1. It says, now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass. Now you can read the book of Judges and you know what came to pass after the death of Joshua. You know, when we get out from under the Joshua Commission, friends, this great unction, this great spiritual channel that God has opened up unto us in this age, we can become, although we believe us in the promised land, like the book of Judges, we can start doing things that you would never believe could be done among the sons and daughters of God. The book of Joshua is a book of vision. The people had one vision. Let's go and take our inheritance. Let's find our positions. That was their great vision. They had a common vision because Joshua was still alive. The influence of Joshua was real. And the elders that outlived Joshua, as long as they stayed under that influence, as long as they stayed in that place, friends, they were united under one head. The book of Joshua is a book of unity. It's Israel as one, all under Joshua. It's a book of headship. It's a people that are in correct position under headship. Joshua's been sent, the leaders of the tribes are sent, the people find their places. And what a beautiful picture that it is. That's why the book of Joshua is a book of victory. It's a book of victory by faith, victory by revelation. It's a book in Joshua where they had an absolute. They were told, don't turn to the left hand or to the right. Do everything which my prophet told you to do. And as long as they continued under that anointing and that channel, realizing what the message of Moses really was, They weren't to add to it. They weren't to take away from it. They were to meditate there and day and night. They were to speak of these things. That's what the book of Joshua produced. When a people stayed in that place. When they were under the headship of the message of the headship of Joshua. When they now took the absolute of the message. The message was the absolute. They wouldn't add to it or take away from it. Their opinions meant nothing. How they saw things didn't count. They didn't mean anything. Their understanding was nothing. Like your and my understanding means nothing, friends. It's the mind of Christ. That's the only thing that counts. And he reveals his mind through his servants, the prophets. That's how the prophet says David made that mistake. He says if God was going to reveal something like that, that inspiration should have gone to Nathan. That was God's ordained way of revealing his mind to the people, was through his prophet. And then the prophet should have come and says, David, build a place for the house of the Lord, for the ark of the Lord. Because the prophet says the inspiration hit David to bring the ark of the Lord up from Shiloh, wherever it was. But there was no place to put it. And then David, because he was a king, he wasn't in his position. He caught a revelation. Let's bring it on a new ark. And then they take that ark and they put it on a new cart. They put the ark on a new cart. They bring it along. And there's a genuine brother just wanting to try to help the things of God. And the oxen stumble and the ark's about to fall. And Uzzah puts his hand and the Lord smites him dead. Hey. And then David, it says, he feared before the Lord. And he looked and said, I never expected things to be like this. Although David was a man after God's own heart, David was anointed by the prophet to the position that he was called to be. That anointing was upon David as king. Then you go to the next chapter. And then they did it properly. The prophet says, they went now to Nathan and they said, we've been sincere in what we've done. We've tried to do a service for the Lord. But it hasn't worked out well. What have we done wrong? And now when they went and consulted the right channel, the revelation came down. Amen. And Nathan said, first, build a place for it. Secondly, go and do what the prophet said. Take it upon the shoulders of the Levites. The prophet says the word had to be close to the hearts of the priesthood. It had to be carried on the shoulders of the Levites. And then David comes in that chapter and says, calls everyone together and says, well, this is how we're going to do it. We're going to bring it up on the shoulders of the Levites. That's the way that it's going to be done. He says, and because we never sought God after due order, that's why this breach came upon us. Amen. Ah, friends, that's a strong scripture when you go and meditate on that one for a while. Because you look in our midst, you look in your life, you look at why certain things take place. It's because God has his order, friends. God has a way of doing things. And we may be sincere like David. You may be a man after God's own heart. But you might be trying to sincerely doing it in a certain way. But if it's not God's provided way, God will never bless it. It's never going to work out for the good of anybody. It can even cause the death of innocent people. And that's when David learned that lesson quickly and went back now and said, hey, let's consult the right channel when you do these things. Let's get to the prophet and find out, what does the prophet say about these things? What did the prophet say is the revelation of the word concerning doing these things, the service for the Lord? And then the moment they did it, like it says, and the Lord helped them. And the Lord was with them. And it was a great blessing now when they brought the ark up. And David got in the spirit and he composed that psalm about touch not the Lord's anointed and so forth. That was the very time now when they brought the ark up the correct way. And it just shows that God has his provided way. And that is the Joshua commission to us. And if you can just come under this Joshua commission, we'd be like the book of Joshua. But you look in the book of Judges. The Bible says every man did what was right in his own eyes. It says because there was no king in Israel. There was no headship. There was no leadership. So everybody, though they were in the promised land, but because that influence of Joshua wasn't there anymore. Because they weren't operating in that realm with the reality of the influence of that Joshua commission upon what they were doing. It became a confusion. They had no absolute. This man would be a priest down there. This man would be a priest in this man's home. This man said, I'll give you 10 shekels and a shirt if you come and be a priest in my house. You know, the book of Judges, I don't even like to read it. It's a disappointing book. It's a disappointing book. It's a confusing book. But the Lord puts those things for us to learn thereby. And friends, we've been through our times of confusion as well. We've been through our times that you wouldn't want to repeat some of the things that have just gone by. You know, it's a lesson. It's the Joshua Commission. If you can just get under that anointing and stay in that channel and do exactly according to the law of Moses. Our friends, that's when the Lord says, then you shall prosper. No man will stand before you all the days of your life. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You will prosper in all that you do. Wherever you place your foot, you're going to possess that land. But that was the condition of the Joshua Commission, why they got into the Joshua Commission. Now, under Joshua, they had vision. And under the Joshua Commission, there was a positional placing. In the book of Joshua, everyone went and was finding his position and his place. But you go to the book of Judges, it's not like that. You know, it needs that. It's not by power. It's not by might. It's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So that's the difference between those books and the importance of this commission. I'll just come to a close just to show what the prophet says in this, as I was with Moses. He speaks of this principle of the prophet was feeling it, 1960, 1961, he was feeling it inside of his own soul that there was a certain place God wanted him to get. And there was a certain place that the church had to get to. Because if you think it, the cloud hadn't yet come. Yeah. The prophet hadn't yet fully stepped into Malachi 4, hadn't fully stepped into Revelation 10. Now the first time in the message when the prophet mentions Revelation 10, he says, is this the time? 30th of December 1962. Just after he's seen the vision of the angels. At that same time, he preaches the influence messengers. When the angels came to Isaiah, and Isaiah saw the Lord and so forth. It's very powerful. At that time, the prophet entered into a certain realm. But the first time he ever preaches and mentions Revelation 10 is right at the time now of the Joshua Commission. That's something that he'd been looking for. That's something he'd been longing for all the days of his life. He says, there's many things we could go into, he says, but he says, Joshua, under his commission, another thing he had to do was to lead them along the border among their brethren. So this is the point he gets to. He says, right along the border, there was already the descendants of Lot. They were the Edomites, the Moabites. They were already dwelling there. If you go to Israel, you will see the mountains of Moab just across the Dead Sea. They're right there. They had the inheritance right on the borderline of the promised land. And the one revelation that was given now to Joshua, the prophet says, they had already tasted blood. They had already tasted victory. He had to conquer them. He had to keep them quiet as they marched down. And the principle the prophet's going to show here is that the Edomites and the Moabites, God had given them the inheritance. But the inheritance wasn't in the promised land. And he's going to show that people had the inheritance back here. You know, the denominational systems and so forth, they've got the inheritance in a measure. But it's only the predestined that have got a burden and a deep calling inside for something beyond that. Because you're not ordained to find your inheritance back here under just the first two pulls. Your inheritance is under the third pull. Your inheritance is under the Joshua Commission. And that's what he starts to speak about. He says, justification that left Egypt. Sanctification through the Red Sea, through the wilderness. The blood that killed off the human desires of evil. But the third stage was when they crossed Jordan into the promised land. Their inheritance never laid in Egypt, though God blessed them in Egypt. So God blessed even the believers back then. But the believers could feel it inside of themselves. There's something beyond this. I was ordained to something beyond this. He says, how can you try to make all the Lutherans see this message? All the Baptists see it, or the Presbyterians, the Nazarenes, the Pilgrim Holiness. He says, don't condemn them. That's all that they know. That's all that's in them. He says, it's like the Moabites and the Edomites. They had a portion. Leave them in their portion. There was nothing in them that desired an inheritance beyond the Jordan. There was nothing in them that was ordained. There was nothing that was cried out by their mothers and their when they were born, which positionally placed them in an inheritance in the promised land. They weren't ordained unto that. There's nothing in the souls of many people, friends, to follow this message. They'll never follow this message. It just confuses them. But you and I, when you get into the message, we find ourselves. We never found ourselves before. We never understood ourselves before. The prophet, when the angel came down, says, your misunderstood life and your strange birth, I've come to reveal it to you, that God made you that way for a purpose. And when we got into this message and you start getting into the channel of this great Joshua anointing on the message of the hour, that's when you start seeing yourself. You start seeing who you really are for the first time. But there's only a certain number of people, the elect, that are ordained unto that. The prophet says that's all that's in with them. Don't disagree with them. Just go ahead. Leave him alone. That's what Joshua was told. Pay them for what you get. If you have to pass through their country, he was predestinated to do that. If God would have expected or predestinated Moab to join up with Israel, they would have joined up. If he had predestinated Esau to go with Israel, Esau would have jumped in and went. But he gave him his inheritance the other side of the river. Ah, friends. God thinks great things of you and me. The Lord has really, really good thoughts. The prophet says, but to you who believe, he says, oh God, to you who know, to you who's got something in you that's calling to the deep. If all the deep you've got has been satisfied, then stay where you are. I'll ask you, is the deep in you satisfied? No ways. That means there's more for us to possess. That means we've got to push further into our inheritance. That's the sign. He says, if that's all the deep, stay where you are. But for me and my house, for me, there's something more than what you can see. There's a land beyond the river somewhere. There's still a deep calling to the deep. Can you see the prophet was right on the borderline of here? And then he preaches the paradox messages and he says the same things. And he sees the vision of the mamba and he says, we're 2/3 of the way towards the Jordan. But across the Jordan lays all the promises. Remember that. And then he preaches, we've been at this mountain too long. And you find the saints from Trinidad get that inspiration. I'm tired of trampling this mountain. I'm going over the Jordan and so forth. You know, I see a vision breaking. And that's what it is. There's something inside of us saints that will never be satisfied with things the way they currently are. You know, but we just need the grace of God to come and anoint us deeper with the Joshua Commission. And we keep following that anointing, putting things, everything in the place where it's supposed to be. And friends, it's absolutely impossible for us not to get the fullness of our inheritance. It's absolutely impossible. If we weren't ordained unto it, we wouldn't be hungering and thirsting for it. There'd be nothing inside of us. The prophet says, I cannot be satisfied with just a good church. I cannot be satisfied with just a good campaign. I cannot be satisfied with a little healing service. There's something beyond that that's calling. The prophet could feel it. He says, so just let them alone. Don't argue with them. They weren't ordained to go with you. They won't walk with you. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? But to those who love God, to those who are the called of God, they'll say, well, God gave us this church through Martin Luther. It's true. God gave us this church. Where is it? That's their inheritance. That's right. God said, I've given Esau this mountain. Don't touch him. I've got something different for you. Cross over. And the prophet says, amen. There's something different for the believer. And you know that, friends. You can always see a believer. There's something different about a believer. A genuine believer. And the denominational people, they know that. There's something different about a believer. No matter how young you are in the message, if a person's really ordained unto the message, everybody can see there's something different about this. There's a difference. The prophet says, that's my desire, brethren, to see my church cross over into another land. A desire to move over to the other side. If there's something in you here first calling, there's got to be something to respond to that call. Just settling down to sheep raising isn't enough for you. To get into some sort of a business, it's not enough for you. Just to join the church and put your name on the book It's not enough for you. Because there's something calling across the ridge yonder. A call from that ridge and all across Jordan. Until you fall into the arms of God yonder. The deep is calling unto the deep. Our friends, if there's a deep calling, there's a deep to respond. There's something that's trying to urge us on. Just to say, just yield unto this Joshua anointing. Just yield unto this message of the hour. Just follow what it is that he wants us to do. Because Joshua puts things in their place. Joshua puts things in their positions. And friends, it's a very individual thing. It wasn't just for Joshua to find his position. It was for each and every one of those people that crossed Jordan. Every one of them had a predestined place and a position that they had to go and find within that land of the inheritance that God had reserved for them, that they were born unto, that had been prophesied over them in the days of their birth, that Joshua got an inspiration for just in the due season when they were to cross Jordan, and that moved them and positionally placed them inside of their land. Then the prophet, he says in adoption, he says, now, where the church is now, this is my purpose of doing this. The church is always trying to take somebody else's corner. Don't do that. You can never raise corn in Ephraim's corner. If you're Manasseh, you've got to take your place in Christ. Positionally take it. He says, oh, it gets deep and rich when we get in here. God puts one in the church to speak with tongues. Another interpretation of tongues. We've been taught you all have to speak with tongues. That's wrong. We've all got to do this. No, we don't. They didn't have to all do one thing there. Each land was provided and divvied up by inspiration. So if it was divided up by inspiration, you and I aren't going to get there unless we're moving in that inspiration. Unless we yield and obedient to that inspiration, to the leadership of that inspiration. It says, but now after you're in, that doesn't mean that you're free from war. You'll have to fight for every inch of ground you stand on. You see, Canaan did not represent the great heaven because it's war and troubles and killings and fightings and so forth. But it did represent this, that it must be a perfect walk. And there's where the church is failing today, on that walk. Do you know that even your own behavior can knock somebody else out of getting healed? Your misbehavior of unconfessed sins of you believers can cause this church to bitterly fail. And at the day of judgment, you'll be responsible for every bit of it. You say, now wait a minute, brethren, that's the truth. Think of it. And then he speaks about Achan. We know the story. And the Babylonian garment and the gold wedge. And how the sons of Israel in their position in the army went to take the city of Ai and had to turn their backs at the enemy. And then the Lord came and spoke to Joshua and said, get sin out of the camp. Why did they die? Innocent man. Because one man stepped out of line. You see the reason this needs to be taught? The church lining up. Lining up with the word of God. Lining up with God and lining up with each other. Walking perfectly upright, soberly before all men, fearing God. Ah, friends, that's a wonderful thing. And that's the deep in us is calling to that. The deep in you and the deep in me doesn't want us to be disunited. There's something inside that wants to be one with your brethren. There's something inside of there. There's something inside of us that is calling for the gifts of the Spirit. Because someone's ordained to speak in tongues and someone's ordained to interpret. Friends, the prophet says spiritual gifts are the order of the day. That's at the beginning of church order. In the land, there's the gifts of the Spirit. In our inheritance, there's gifts of healing. There's gifts of miracles. There's gifts of discernment of spirit. There's gifts of wisdom, gifts of knowledge. All of the 9 spiritual gifts. There's prophets and preachers and teachers and evangelists and pastors and apostles. Those are gifts of the Spirit. There's the various offices and roles and administration. There's gifts of music, gifts of inspiration to write sacred music, gifts of inspiration to write the words and gifts of inspiration to put the music to the words. That's all in the body. That's all in our great inheritance. And may God lead us under the Joshua Commission. Under the Joshua Commission, the ministry of the bride, May the Lord continue to lead us and guide us as we pray one for another, as we yield ourselves to Him, especially in this stage of the journey. As we say, Lord, we feel there's something there. There's something You're wanting us to break into. And Lord, we can feel it's not far away. Lord, help us. Anything that's not in its place, help us. Anything that's hindering that, reveal it unto us, O Lord, and help us to deal with it the way that it should be dealt with. And Lord, You take us into the fullness of our inheritance. That's the deep that calls to the deep. Where there's a deep in You, there's got to be a deep to respond. And friends, that's why we're not looking for anybody else. I'm not looking for anybody else. I'm not ever going to follow any other minister. I'm never. If you want to follow, that's up to you. But as for me and my house, I've learned it from the past. I've seen it time and time again. We were under a ministry like that in Zimbabwe, which our pastor said, no, everyone must follow us and so forth. And we saw leprosy come in. Until now, he's got a 40-year jail sentence in Zimbabwe. He's going to die in jail because of his iniquities. You can't raise yourself up like that. We've seen it from the beginning of the message to now. We don't need new things, friends. We just need to stay under the anointing of this Joshua Commission. And each and every one of us seeking out individual places in the body, seeking to manifest what we were born to manifest. And let God have His wonderful way. Let's stand, saints. Let's come to a time of worship before we close. That's how the prophet speaks of it. He says, because one man stepped out of line. You see the reason this needs to be taught. The church lining up with the word of God. Lining up with God, lining up with each other. Walking perfectly, upright, soberly before all men. Fearing God. May God help us in that. Let's pray for each other. Let's encourage each other in these things. And may the Lord have His wonderful way. And may it be done unto us according to His word. Let's sing that song, I'm tired of trampling on this mountain. I'm heading across the Jordan.
There's a deep, there's a deep
and inward hunger within my soul. God has promised in His word He'll make us whole. Well, it's time for it to happen. That huge portion of heaven, it will make and bring to pass tremendous victory in the love divine. Traveling on this mountain, oh, I'm heading down to the Jordan.
I'm heading, Lord,
Lord, before me. I see a vision breaking.
I see it breaking,
a power that will bind hunger up. The ministry, the power, a power that will bind the number up, the ministry. Now is my time for consecration. I must see a change in me. I will enter my secret closet and close behind me. I will keep the feast of unleavened bread with truth and sincerity. For I'm expecting Jehovah Jireh, my Lord, to meet with me. For I'm tired of camping on this mountain. Oh, I'm heading down to the Jordan.
I'm heading, Lord,
Lord, before me. I see a vision breaking.
I see it breaking.
Power that will bind the number up. The ministry. Oh, power.
power that revived the thunder of Whipple ministry. Lord, keep thy holy fire burning deep in my soul. Change me from glory unto glory. Seal thy image, you behold. Let's keep this holy convocation till we become a new creation. For it's the message in you and me will bring to pass that tremendous victory. For I'm tired of trembling on this mountain. Oh, I'm heading now to the throne. I'm heading, Lord, before me. I see a vision breaking. I see it breaking. Power that will bind the number of Whipple ministry. Oh, a power that will bind the number of Whipple ministry. Oh, I'm tired, for I'm tired of trembling on this mountain. Oh, I'm heading down to the Jordan. I'm heading, Lord, before me. I see a vision breaking. I see a breaking power that will bind the number of Whipple ministry. Power that will bind the number of Whipple ministry.
Let's sing that song. Kick him down, kick him down. Have the devil on the run. The Son of God should not be trodden down. Let's kick that mamba down.
Kick him down, kick him down. Have the devil on the run. Son of God must not be trodden down. So kick that mamba down. Kick him down, kick him down. Have the devil on the run. Son of God must not be trodden down, so kick that mamba down. Arise and shine, King Theophany has come. Let's hold to his unchanging hand. Praise the Lord, praise his name, and be garrisoned, my friend. Don't let the devil take your confidence or in your heart forbid. Don't you hate your brother, that's the root of bitterness. We've got to walk in that way of holiness, of holiness. Kick him down, have the devil on the run. The Son of God must not be trodden down, so kick that mamba down. Kick him down, kick him down. Have the devil on the run. The Son of God must not be trodden down, so kick that mamba down. Oh, cover your face, cover your feet with reverence and humility. Let's go into action with God-given ability. Stand flat-footed in your trials, though they may be sometimes weak. Always remember to call Jesus on the sea. Remember every day to have the token on display. It's an act of love, so follow that love. That's no idea. That's no idea. Kick him down, kick him down. Have the devil on the run. The Son of God must not be trodden down, so kick that mamba down. Kick him down, kick him down. Have the devil on the run. The Son of God must not be trodden down, so kick that mamba down. conquered by tradition. In this day we stand, like Joshua and Caleb, we are going to take that land. But brother, it won't be easy, it's not a flowery bed of ease. Remember that old devil you bring on that terrible squeeze. Don't let him have you blue, wondering what you're gonna do. It's an act of love, so far that that's where I die. Let him just be. Kick him down, have the devil on the run. Son of God must not be trodden down, so kick that number two. Kick him down, have the devil on the run. Son of God must not be trodden down, so kick that number down.
Let's sing one more. Let's just sing the original life, the original seed. It's the original word that we believe.
Amen. Amen.
The original seed, the original word is what I believe. The Son of Man,
well, the Son of Man,
the seventh seed,
the original life.
Was that we were mutes, were manifested to his bride in this last age. For we have caught the revelation by the last prophet's message, and we know who we are and what we are raised up for. Praise the Lord. The original seed, the original word, it's what I believe,
what I believe, what I believe.
The Son of Man,
for the Son of Man,
the seventh seed is unfilled,
the original life,
the original seed. The Word made flesh today. This is what the Scriptures say. And our names are seen within, redeemed and perfect without sin.
Yes, we are
the anointed and inspired by our God, who's the original life.
The original word,
it's what I believe,
what I only believe.
The Son of Man,
for the Son of Man,
seven seals,
the original
life,
the original seed.
Our eyes of understanding, he has opened up at last. And sweet victory is ours, who were chained down in the past.
Should you believe,
has sounded, and we have responded to our God. Original life,
hallelujah, the original
life,
the original seed, the original word,
it's what I believe,
what I believe, what I believe,
the Son of Man,
for the Son of Man,
the seventh seal is unfilled. The original sin. We are called unto a daughter. day. Soon will be over. Glory, hallelujah, to our God.
With the original life. Hallelujah, the original
life.
The original sea. The original word
is what I believe.
What I believe, what I believe.
The Son of Man.
The seventh seal is unfilled. The original life,
the original sin.
Let's bow our heads. Just ask Brother Francois, please come and close for us, Brother Francois. Let's keep in prayer the meetings the following weekend with Brother David Nash. May the Lord speak to us. Let's pray for the weekend. Pray for the saints who aren't here. Amen. The young people that have got exams, may the Lord be with them at this time. The leaving certs and so forth. And the rest of the saints, God bless them.
Amen. Most precious Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
Tonight we come with our heart burning with joy.
Yes, Lord.
Because of the revelation of thy word.
Amen, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Father, you knew that we'd be able to live in this time. That high. You have opened up your mind.
Amen.
Through the prophet, Father.
Yes, Lord.
And to send us a message that will set us free.
Hallelujah.
From the bound of this life.
Yes, Lord.
That will set us free from denomination, all Amen. Tradition, everything that will not be able to hold us to go to the rapture.
Yes, Lord.
Father, your word has been so clearly.
No, Lord.
And we believe and stand on it, Father.
Amen.
As you says in the beginning of the Joshua chapter 1, that Joshua, the minister of Moses, Father.
Amen, yes, Lord.
Father, you have made us minister, children, under this Malachi 4.
Amen, Lord.
Father, we thank you for a powerful and such a revelation, Father, that was able to take us out of the world, Father.
Amen.
And transform yes, our life, Father.
Amen, yes, Lord.
Though we are not what we're supposed to be.
Amen.
Father, but we are not anymore where we used to be, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Our life Hallelujah. Has changed.
Amen.
Something has happened to our life, Father.
Yes,
and
Lord.
We thank you for that, Father.
Yes, Lord.
And we can't be silent, Father, until we reach our adoption, Father.
Amen.
In this place that each of us will be able to possess our inheritance, Father.
Yes, Lord.
That you have ordained to us before the foundation of the world, Father.
Amen.
And we yes, believe, Lord. Father, that each of us will find the position because you have called us for that, Father.
Amen.
Father, yes, we're going to commit this church at thy hand, Father.
Amen, Lord.
Especially, Father, the vessel that you have used tonight,
Please,
Father.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
He has Please, set himself Lord. Aside, Father, Amen. To study thy scripture, Father.
Yes, Lord.
And being faithful in the post of duty, Father, and bring the scripture, Father, in the powerful way, Father, that each of us has been able to receive something coming from thee.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we thank you for that, Father,
Amen.
Because we know that you have partnered yourself with man to preach thy gospel, Father.
Yes, Lord.
And
yes,
we thank
Lord.
You for the gift like that, Father,
Amen.
That we can see things clearly, Father,
Hallelujah.
That we don't need any man, Father. You Amen. Have says, as the prophet says, everything that the bride need
Amen.
Is on the tapes and in the books,
yes,
Father.
Lord, yes,
and
Lord.
We want to eat the books
Amen.
As the commission was given, Father,
Hallelujah.
To John, that we, John, represent as a Father. We want that book to become life in each of us, Father.
Yes, Lord.
That book to be made flesh, Father.
Amen.
That we will be able to speak like you did. And we will be able to act and walk Hallelujah. Like you did, Father.
Please,
and we will see the power of thy Holy Spirit manifest himself
yes,
among
Lord,
us, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we know that we are mortal, Father.
Yes, Lord.
But you were not ashamed to call us thy people. Father.
Yes, Lord.
You have Thank shed you, your blood, Father, that you shall take our shame away.
Yes,
and
Lord.
We thank you for that because we are not Amen. Saved by the blood of man, but we are saved by the blood of God himself.
Yes, Lord.
Father, tonight, we thank you so much, Father,
Amen.
For this word that was sent Amen. To us, Father.
Yes, Lord.
And we appreciate it, Father.
Amen.
But we want to ask you, Father, a different petition that we have, Father.
Amen.
And a spoken one, you know the heart Amen. And
yes,
the desire of
yes,
each of
Lord.
Us, the heart,
yes,
Father.
Lord. Yes,
we
Lord.
Ask you, Father. That our children that are having exam,
yes, Lord.
Junior cert exams, Father, leaving cert exam, Father,
Please, Lord.
College exam, Father, that you shall undertake in their behalf, Father,
Please, Lord.
That you should grant them favor, Father, and let them sit there, Father, And rejoice that the Lord was with me, Father.
Amen.
Because you say that you shall be with us, Father. And wherever we put our foot, you shall be with us, Father.
Yes, Lord.
And the land will be given to us, Father.
Amen.
And we ask you, Father, the possession of spiritually speaking, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ,
please,
Father.
Lord.
That we shall be what you want us to be, Father.
Please, Lord.
That you shall fill each of us with thy Holy Spirit, Father.
Yes, Lord.
That when we leave this place, Father, we should say that it was good to be in the house of God,
yes,
Father.
Lord. Yes,
let
Lord.
Be a permanent change inside of our heart, Father.
Please, Lord.
That we shall never be the same, Father.
Amen.
Because the revelation transformed the life of the people, Father.
Yes,
let
Lord.
This revelation transform our life, Father.
Please, Lord.
And
yes.
bring us to thy image, Father.
Amen.
Bless everything that was said, Father. Everything that was spoken, Father. You, the great teacher, Father. Where the man can't reach, Father.
Amen.
You minister deeper inside of our heart, Father.
Please, Lord. Yes,
that we
Lord.
Shall be able to capture all the revelation of thy word. Because the prophet says, never tie to seek for revelation.
Yes, Lord.
Revelation is very important, Father.
Hallelujah.
In our walking with thee, Father. In the understanding of the scripture, Father. It need the mighty angel to come down to open
Please,
the book.
Yes.
And we ask that the same mighty angel
yes.
to come down inside of our heart, Father.
Amen.
And to minister deeper there, Father, that we will get a full understanding
yes,
of thy
Lord.
Scripture.
Yes, Lord.
Father, if there's anybody that is sick in this place
Please,
tonight,
Lord.
Father,
yes, Lord.
We ask you that you shall grant the healing
Please,
in
Lord.
The name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Please, Lord.
Because you say that the sign shall follow them that believe in my
yes,
name, Father.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Father, we believe that the sign always with us, Father.
Amen.
Because that is your own word, Father.
Amen.
And you are there to fulfill thy word, Father.
Yes, Lord.
And you prophet tell us that we shall take you by thy word, Father.
Amen.
Fulfill it tonight, Father. Let it might be a great testimony, Father.
Amen.
That at that night, something happened, Father.
Amen.
There was a change, physically speaking, and spiritually speaking, Father.
Yes, Lord.
We want to go to our different places, Father. We ask you that you shall go with us, Father.
Please, Lord.
And when we meet here on Friday for the prayer meeting, Father,
yes, Lord.
That you, Holy Spirit, shall be again with us, Father.
Please, Lord.
And that you shall be able to speak with us, Father, and we shall be able to speak with thee, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Because you are an answering God.
Yes, Lord.
You answer to our prayer, Father. You know our need, Father. Minister to our need, Father.
Yes,
Everything
Lord.
Is possible to those that believe.
Amen.
And we believe in thy name, Father. And we know with thee, Father, good things happen, Father.
Hallelujah.
It's time when you come, something good happen, Father.
Yes, Lord.
And we believe tonight that you are with us, Father.
Amen.
Let something happen good, Father, inside of each of us life, Father.
Please, Lord.
Let be a testimony somehow, Father. You know, Father, that there's someone crying, Father.
Amen.
There's someone crying, the Lord, touch, Father.
Yes.
Touch us all, Father. Because we need a touch from thee, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Restore
Amen.
Virtue to thy servant, Father.
Amen.
As it's driving back home, that you shall be with him.
Please,
protect
Lord.
Him in the road,
Hallelujah.
Father. And undertake on the behalf of our sister
yes.
that is expecting, Father,
Please,
that
Lord.
You shall give a quick delivery, Father,
Please, Lord.
And the glory and the honor will be
Amen.
Given unto thee, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Not by multiplying word that you're going to answer to our prayer, Father,
Amen.
But you look at the sincerity of our heart, Father.
Please, Lord.
Putting the sincerity of my heart together with the saints in this place,
Amen.
We ask that thy will shall be done
Please,
in
Lord.
Each of us' life, Father. Provide to all our need. And we thank you for everything, Father. And we thank you for the song worship.
Amen.
And we thank you, Father, for the prayer of the saints.
Yes.
And everything that was done here, Father. We commend to all at thy hand in the wonderful name of our Lord Amen. Jesus Christ. We pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints.
In your presence. That's where I am strong. In your presence, Lord, I walk. Your presence, that's where I belong. Sit in your face, touching your grace. In the kept of the law, in your presence, Lord, in your presence, oh God, in your presence, that's where I am strong, in your presence.
gift of the Lord.
In your presence, O God,
I want to go.
I want to go where the streams of life overflow. In your presence, O God,
in your presence,
in your presence,
in your presence,
that's where I am.
In your presence,
O Lord, my God,
in your presence,
that's where I am.
Seeking your face,
left of the